But let's sing a little slower. Sing just a little bit slower, like this. In thy bright beams which on me fall, fade every evil thought. That I am nothing, thou art all. Daily taught, each day let thy support hide my weakness still, grace my darkness vanish in thy light. My life, my death, efface. There are certain hymns that are possibly, they can be used to facilitate our personal fellowship with the Lord. Now, maybe any hymn is good. But I find, in my experience, that there are some hymns that are better. Particularly those that are in the first person. O Jesus Christ, grow thou in me. Grow in me. So this is already a prayer. Already a prayer. You know, the hymns are poetry. Poetry is the expression of experience, or much of poetry is the expression of experience. So, in this case, it's a brother, Johann Lavater. I don't know anything about this brother. Had some experience. And he was given this gift to put this in a poetic way. And it's there. I don't speak this way. But I feel this way. Something, when I sing this, echoes. Yes, yes, yes. That's what I'm trying to say. So you use his words in the body. This is a benefit of the body of Christ. Someone experienced this. Now you can use their experience to express your feeling. This is the body. Let's see. In thy bright beams which on me fall, fade every evil thought. Yes, Lord. I want every evil thought to fade in your bright beams. That I am nothing and thou art all. You know, I don't speak thou and thee. But actually, when I pray personally, I like saying thou and thee. I don't know about you. You can change it to you and me and, you know. I grew up this way. So I like it. My heart be daily nearer thee. Yes, Lord. I want my heart to be nearer to you daily. And from sin to be daily free. So when we're singing, and really, of course not all were with us in the afternoon. Really, I just want to continue for a few moments. I'm limiting this part. But to add to the fellowship that we gave this afternoon. The hymns are a very good way to help us set our mind on our spirit and to usher us into the presence of the Lord so that then the Lord can take the lead for that day to speak to us what he wants to speak and operate what he wants to operate. So when we're singing a hymn like this, we were just singing all together. When we're singing like this, I don't know about you, but as we sing, some feeling comes. Not all the same on every verse. There might be one sentence that rings within us. Well, as we're singing together, you don't stand up and say, wait, I want to pray. But when you're singing by yourself, in your private room, in your closet, you can stop at any time. You can pray like this. Let's see. Yes, you can be reading, make this poor self grow less. Yes, Lord. You don't have to finish singing this, the whole verse. Surely you don't have to finish singing the whole song. You don't even have to finish the line. Yes, Lord. Make this poor self grow less and less. Be thou my life and aim. Oh, make me daily through thy grace. Lord, I need your grace. You don't have to finish the word, grace. Something touched you. That's anointing. Convert the anointing to words, to prayer. Actually, that becomes the Lord speaking to you. Very interesting. It's feeling. You convert to words. Are they your words? Or are they the Lord speaking? It's hard to say. But actually, the Lord speaks to you, shines on you. Maybe you just sing part of verse 1, and that's good enough. Then you have the feeling, now come to my word. Come to my word. You're not bound to sing the whole hymn. Now, I don't know how many of you or how many of the saints in general use the hymns for the morning fellowship, but I just like to not even recommend this to you. I just like to mention it and follow the leading of the Lord. Could we sing one verse of hymn 255? Hymn 255. This is by A.B. Simpson. Oh Lord, bring thy spirit on me, teach me how to breathe thee in. Help me pour into thy bosom all my life of self and sin. I am breathing out my sorrow, breathing out my sin. I am breathing all thy fullness in. Is there not some feeling? Which word, which phrase? To me, O Lord, breathe thy spirit on me. Teach me. Maybe today, if I were singing this alone, I would stop there. Teach me. Yes, Lord, teach me. Teach me how to breathe thee in. And help me. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me pour into your bosom. Lord, thank you. I'm at your bosom. In your bosom, into your bosom, I can pour all my life of self and sin. Actually, throughout the years, this hymn has been of particular help to me. Sometimes I have been led to stay just with verse 1 for a day or two. Sometimes out of this, prayer came, confession came, verses came, but not the verses that were assigned for the day. Actually, I remember at least a couple of times, I never got to open the Bible or the Holy Word for morning revival. The Lord verses were coming, the Lord was just speaking to me out of my prayer. And I didn't finish verse 1. The next day, the next morning, I had the feeling, come back here. And I stayed on verse 1, went to verse 2, and I didn't get past verse 2. This hymn, for nearly a week, was my supply. Nearly a week. But you can't bottle that and then think it'll be that way always. Because on a particular morning, I try to sing I sing through the whole hymn. No feeling. I mean, it's sense the Lord's presence, but no particular anointing. So I just put it aside, open the Word, and go to the Word. Follow. We need to learn to follow the inner anointing for that day. There's another hymn. You know this hymn well. This is 8:12. How about this one? 8:1-2. I think this one, some of us maybe even have committed to memory. 8:12. In Chinese, 588. I come to thee, dear Lord, my heart doth thirst for thee. Of thee I did, of thee I drink, enjoy thee thoroughly. About verse 2, sisters. Just this morning. Okay, brothers, 3. Thy glorious radiant face my heart delights to see. Here I'd abide and ne'er depart, beholding constantly. Sisters. Together, 5. Lord, I would linger here, still seeking after thee. Continuing the word and prayer till thou dost flow through me. Is there any feeling? Which verse? Which line? So many. Just to behold thy face, for this my heart doth cry. I deeply long to drink of thee, my thirst to satisfy. I don't speak this way, I don't think this way, but I surely feel this way. And these words supply my inner feeling. So I take this as my prayer. And out of this, the Lord can lead to a deeper fellowship. One more. 3:71. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord, no tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Verse 2 says, I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee every hour. In joy or pain, come quickly and abide, or life is vain. Anyway, saints, there are many such hymns in our hymnal that these are our inheritance in the body of Christ. And I hope that if you do not have this habit of using the hymns, I hope maybe you could consider one or two to learn some of the hymns, even especially these kind of hymns, to strengthen our personal fellowship with the Lord. Actually, to sing a verse or two of these hymns while you're singing, you will not be struggling with your mind. Your mind will not wander. You're not fighting. But yet you are. But you're winning this warfare through the hymns. Anyway, I just offer that to you. Tonight, we will come to, in your packet, it's outline 5, the last outline. Outline 5. If you're using the book, it is chapter 15. Chapter 15, and that is in this book, Raising Up the Next Generation for the Church Life. Compiling children's lessons that build up a proper humanity and lead the children into a proper enjoyment. The burden tonight is concerning the content of our time with the children. In both the church children's meeting and the neighborhood children's meeting. This could also be applied to our family meetings. Our family meetings, or what we also call home meetings. Home meetings. That is, any gathering where we are with the children. It could just be mom putting the children to bed and spending time with them. It could be the whole family together, mom and dad with all the children. It could be the neighborhood children's meeting. It could be the children's meeting of the church, which is generally carried out on the Lord's Day. What we want to do is present some principles of what to speak to the young people. And of course, this talks about how to prepare lessons, how to prepare the lessons. Following these principles, I hope in some places you would attempt to write lessons on your own. You can come together according to these principles and prepare some lessons. But in many cases, we already have some lessons. We have things that are being used. Well, what we're talking about here is how to present those lessons. Because we may have a children's lesson, and we give it to this brother, and he can teach this lesson in a way that is full of premature knowledge and not interesting. But we give the same lesson to this sister, and she can teach it with no premature knowledge, a lot of joy, and the children leave with something that builds up their humanity. It's the same lesson. You'll see here that we encourage as Brother Lee's encouragement, you don't have to have a separate grade level, class for every level. We can have three levels. And a beginner's, intermediate, and an advanced. Three levels. And you can have the same lesson for all three levels. But of course, you have to teach it differently to all three levels. And how much you say, how long you say, and how you say it, all different. And that's what we're want to talk about tonight. Okay, let's for this, let's follow the outline. Let's read through, and then I'll comment as we go along. Okay, Romans 1, all together, please. Let's alternate the reading now. Sisters, brothers, through all of A and the points underneath. Okay, sisters, please begin. A. I would say, in some cases, the prevailing atmosphere of the children's meeting, it has a Sunday school flavor. Where the children are there, they don't have any feeling this is different than school. They sit there and they learn. They sit there and they learn. And we don't want this. This kills the interest. This kills the interest. Every week, it is our desire to infuse and inspire. Infuse and inspire. We want to infuse them with something. So, to infuse, you have to have a burden. You're not just passing information. You want something that's within you to be conveyed into these little hearts. And again, at when they're 5 or 6 years old, it's one way. When they're 7 or 8 years old, it's another way. When they're 9 or 10, it's yet a different way. But we want to infuse them. Infuse them with the knowledge of the Lord, yes. You know, it says here, educate. What line does it say that? 2A, this method educates the children with premature knowledge. That does not mean we don't want to educate the children. One of the functions of the children's meeting is to educate the children with the Bible stories, but not with premature knowledge. Okay, what does that mean? Maybe an illustration will help. It's a wonderful story. Actually, this is one of the few stories that appears in all four Gospels. You know which one that is? The feeding of the 5,000. The feeding of the 5,000. You know that story? I think even unbelievers know this story. The Lord is speaking, the people are following Him, and they're in a desert or deserted place, and it's getting dark. The day is coming to an end. And the disciples say, Lord, we have to send the crowds away because, you know, it's going to be time to eat. And the Lord says, don't send them away. You give them something to eat. And they said, where are we going to get food for all these people? He says, see what you have among yourselves. Put yourself in the place of the disciple. What would your attitude be right now? It's possible. If it were me, if I was there, I might be saying, see what you have among yourselves. What's he thinking? What is he thinking? So then, anyway, anybody have anything? And this one, no, nothing. Yeah. No, nothing. Then, who's there? Who has something? Huh? A little boy. Not just a boy. It says a little boy. A little boy. So he has something. What does he have? 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. What is this little boy doing with 5 loaves and 2 fish in the desert? What's he doing there? How did he get that? Was he holding it for his mother? We don't know. But anyway, he offers it to the disciples. Then they come back. Well, Lord, this is what we came back with. There's a little boy back there. Thank you. Okay. So, what does the Lord do? What does he do? Huh? Oh, wait. Not so fast. He tells, huh? How big? Yeah. He tells, have them recline. Sit down. In groups of 50 or 100. Did you know this part? 50 or 100. In a sense, like this, just like we are. We have one area here, one area there, one here, but it's actually 2. You're the only one that's part of both. There's 2 sections here. Oh, maybe the Lord would say, no, you got to move over. I don't know. But there's clear sections. It's a clear section. Very orderly. Then, the Lord performs a miracle. He blesses, He prays, and He starts to distribute. He doesn't stop. He doesn't stop. And feeds everybody. Feeds everybody. Then in that discourse, in John 6, is a marvelous revelation. You know, they started to follow Him because of the food. They say, oh, free food. If we follow this man, we will have our needs taken care of. So he says, do not work for the food that perishes. Don't work for the food that perishes, but the food that abides to eternal life. It says, it's Moses, right? Had the manna in the wilderness. Then he said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I am the bread that came down from heaven. I am the living bread. If you eat me, you will live because of me. Then it goes on to say, oh, disciples, they said, eat you. He starts talking about, eat my flesh. And drink my blood. I mean, think about it, if you were there. Like, I would say, what did he say? Did he say what I think he said? Okay, I'm out of here. And I would leave. And some people did that. They found it hard, a hard word. And then the Lord says, the flesh profits nothing. That's not what I'm talking about. It is the Spirit that gives life. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Okay. Here's the story. Now, what do you teach to the children? I would recommend, do not talk to the children about Jesus being the bread of life. Children, we got to eat Jesus. And you know how? Pray, read. John 6:63. That's one of our verses. We use Ephesians 6:17 and 18 and John 6:63 as our scriptural reference for pray, reading. The words are spirit and life, right? The flesh profits nothing. So children, let's eat the Lord. Okay, please don't do this. If I were to teach the children with this, actually, many things you could bring up. First, the Lord, the disciples said, Lord, send them away. The Lord said, don't send them away. You give them something to eat. So, if I had a class of 5 and 6 years old children, I would say, children, this week, if somebody comes to your house, if somebody comes to visit mommy and daddy, you give them something to eat. Well, maybe that's too hard. How about this? How about you offer them a glass of water? Who could do that? Who could do that? Would you do that this week? Kenny? Kenny, would you do that? Would you do that? Huh? Could you do that? Let's do that. Let's offer your guests. Don't tell them, go home and get your water. You offer them something to eat. Now, can you imagine that week their aunt or uncle come to the house? And then little Kenny says, Uncle Paul, would you like some water? I think the whole family would. Maybe they'd tell mommy, wow, you're doing a good job. Mommy'd have to say, not me. It's the children's need. Oh, that'd be wonderful. Uncle Paul might want to send his children to that children's meeting. Imagine if it's a neighborhood children's meeting. And these are children who are not in the church. They would think, wow, where'd they get this? They have to say, oh, from the cookie lady. That's one lesson. That could be a lesson. Offer people, help people. Another lesson. Oh, where did they get the food? A little boy. Why? How? He shared. Now imagine we're going. Do you have anything? No, no, no. You have anything? Now they come to the little boy. No, no. And he wouldn't share. When he shared, what a blessing. So how many people? It's 5,000 men. Apart from women and children. There could have been 10 or 12,000 people there. We don't know. Who blessed them? Yes, Jesus. But through whom? The little boy who shared. So children, this week, how about we all share something once a day? Can you do that? Can you do that? Let's share. And next week, we're going to ask, who did you share with? Who did you share with? So then the next week, you don't have to start the class. Okay, children, who remembers what we talked about last week? Oh, I don't know how many times I've heard that when the saints start telling their lesson. The children don't remember. They don't remember. There'll be one or two who are always, they're good in school, so, you know. But all the others, one's under the table, and they're, I don't think that's a good way to start every class. Children, who remembers? Right. Maybe you start your class. Did anybody share their toys this week? That will bring back the point. That will bring back the point. Did anybody offer? You want to tell us the story? What happened? My uncle came and I offered him some water. Oh, very good. Was he happy?
Mm-hmm.
Was your mommy? Yeah, she was really happy with me. She gave me, don't you think this little testimony could inspire the others? I think I want my mommy to be happy. What else? Well, he sat down very orderly. And you can say, children, at the end of the lesson, we're going to have a snack. But, Matthew, you have to be orderly. You have to be orderly. If you're not orderly, Matt, go back to your seat. If you're not orderly, you don't eat. That's what we see in the Bible. Okay? Okay. Good. Don't you think this is conveying, don't you think they'll remember this story? Is this premature knowledge? No, nothing here premature. Then, not only this, after they all ate, what happened? Oh, we have this wonderful story about the 12 baskets full. Please don't talk to them about the overflowing abundance of the resurrection life. That doesn't mean anything to them. But you can tell them, children, after we eat, we clean up. And we're going to do that here. Nobody can be dismissed until everything is cleaned up. Not only so, this week, at home, we want everyone to help mommy and daddy clean up after dinner. Oh, okay, Mikey? Mike? Okay? And then we'll come back and ask next week. Okay, would you do that? We're going to ask Mama Joyce. If we're going to check with her. Huh? We're going to ask. Oh, don't you think, if the children, without being asked, would take their plate, don't you think, the parents would. Imagine if you do this in the neighborhood children's meeting. What kind of impression? And maybe, the mother would want to come to see. What are you doing? I don't know what you're doing, but it's having some effect on my child. So, that's the way, or a way to teach. Nothing premature. Build up their humanity. Yeah. Okay. Let's continue with reading B1-2. I forgot who we were up to. Sisters, brothers? How about brothers? Read B.
We should begin by teaching the children how to be a proper human being. We should show them that man is made in God's image, and that man is different from trees, plants, and flowers.
Sisters. Brothers? Just that much. Measure our speaking according to the level. Now, if they're 8 or 10 years old, you can say a little more. You can start talking about how we're created in God's image, but we can't express what God wants us to express. Why is that? Because of sin. And we start to lead them. But the proper experience would be we try to help them to build up their humanity. Sooner or later, they will experience their incapability. Sooner or later, they will fail. Sooner or later, so we're telling them to be righteous, to be honest. Sooner or later, you could ask, did no one lie this month? You didn't lie this week? Then maybe one of the boys would. Don't embarrass them, but you know, you touch something in them. I like to ask you boys, is it possible not to lie? Maybe this one would say, it's really hard. I try. I may have mentioned this story before, forgive me, but I'm sure not everyone heard. I was in one place, and I took hospitality with a family, and I know, or I had known, that sister who's the mother. I'd known her since she was like 8 years old. So now she's grown up, husband, two children of her own. So I'm being driven to the airport. And we made a stop, and mommy runs into the store to pick up something. Actually, for me, she runs into the store. The children are in the back. But in their seats, you know, buckled and so on. Quick stop. And the little girl says, where's my mommy going? I said, dear, mommy went to get something for me. She'll be right back. Your mommy, and I said, your mommy and your daddy are so nice to me. They're so nice to me. And she went to buy me something. And she says, what about me? I said, Joy. Her name is Joy. I said, Joy, yes, you're so nice to me too. And thank you, because she gave up her room for her bed for me the night before, you know. I was just there one night. I said, and Joy, thank you for giving me your room last night. Thank you so much for doing that. You're really nice to me too. And I bet, I continued, I said, I bet you're really nice to your mom and dad too, right? And she says, now I can't see her. She's sitting behind me. There's a headrest here. And so we're talking like that. And she goes, well, I try to be, but I can't do it all the time. So I said, you know, Joy, don't be sad. One day, the Lord Jesus, he's going to come to you and into your heart, and he's going to help you. And she said, why do I have to wait? Anyway. This experience that this little girl had, this is Romans 7. This is Romans 7. The good that I would do, I do not do. And the things that I don't want to do, this I practice. That's just Romans 7. A little girl experienced this. Through what? Trying to build up proper humanity. But eventually, inevitable failure. If we are there observing this, not so that they get disheartened and discouraged and become in despair, but at the right time, we can lead them to salvation. So we have to be alert. Because this doesn't happen for all the children at exactly the same time. Yes, in the church children's meeting, we wait until sixth grade. That was the pattern that was established. Brother Lee encouraged us. By that age, if it hasn't happened yet, we need to share the gospel with them and lead them to salvation, if we can. We don't rush. We don't do that as a formality. We want each one to be touched genuinely in their conscience of their sin, to repent of their sin, and to call out for the Savior. They have to need the Savior. Sometimes we may have the tendency to make it too easy for our own children to be saved. I would say be careful over this. Don't just tell them, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If they don't have, if our children don't have a repentance for sin, they may have a weak Christian life for their entire life. Sooner or later, and we prefer sooner, there must be the repentance for sin. And to realize, I am a sinner. Yes, yes, my grandpa and my grandma love the Lord. My mother and my father and all my aunts and my uncles and everybody I'm surrounded with loves the Lord. And I'm a good boy and I'm a good girl. And everybody is, oh, what a good boy, what a good girl. We raise good children. But I am a sinner in front of God. People don't know what's in my heart. People don't know what's in my mind. I know. And more, God knows. I need a Savior. Children can experience it. At the most, by 11 or 12 years old. I was preaching the gospel to a group of 10 and 11, or mostly 11 and 12-year-old children. Because of the circumstance in that place, there were two 10-year-olds there, a little young. But anyway, that was their situation. I was preaching the gospel to them. There were 14 of them in a circle, 14 of them. And three, maybe four, serving saints. And I was sharing with them on the book of life. That if your name is not written in the book of life of the Lamb, you are cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. So I had shared with them a little bit gospel. Actually, I was planning to speak about 30 minutes to them. About 30 minutes. But after 15 minutes, one little girl there, she raised her hand. Her name is Susanna. I said, yeah, Susanna. She goes, how do you get your name in that book? Because, she says, because my name's not in there and neither's my sister's. I said, you want to know? She goes, this is how she said. I said, do you want to know? She goes, yeah. She just does like that. Yeah. She's from New York. Yeah. She said, yeah. So then I said, well, what about the rest of you? They go, yeah. I said, okay, then let us all kneel. And saints, I've never been in a situation like that. Those 14 children, it almost seemed like in unison. Without hesitation, they went to the ground. They had the conviction. They had the conviction. The serving saints, we were stunned. We were stunned. So actually, they got on their knees before we did. So we knelt with them and we led them to the Lord. And then the serving saints spent time to pray one by one. I led them in together and one by one. Most of those children, actually, that's the bulk of our young people's work today. Those 14. That's the one, actually, the ones taking the lead with our young people today. There's the conviction. If they don't have that, it's very possible their Christian life will be weak. And that may not be manifested until they're in late high school or college or later. They will do what you say. They will go along with everything. But don't be fooled by that. They need a transaction with the Lord. Sooner or later. And of course, we prefer sooner. Sooner. Amen. Are we at C? I think we're at C. In caring for young children, we must be careful not to make them religious, not to pass on mere religious knowledge, and not to tell them too many Bible stories. Furthermore, we should not force them to pray. If we practice these matters, we will be successful. For here, please notice accurately that it says, do not tell them too many Bible stories. It does not say, don't tell them any Bible stories. I went to one place, we shared this lesson, I go away, and then I heard that the serving saints were arguing. Oh, no, Brother Ricky said we shouldn't teach the Bible. Oh, my heart dropped. I didn't say don't teach the Bible. Why would I say don't teach the Bible? Well, you said no premature knowledge. Yes, but teach the Bible. But without premature knowledge. I was asked to speak in the children's gospel meeting one time. Children's gospel meeting. You know, children's gospel meeting is different than the church gospel meeting. In the church gospel meeting, we can share a host of things. Actually, the so-called children's gospel meeting, we gather children. Actually, well, let me put it this way. It's basically a special children's meeting in which we still do what? Singing. Story. And the all-important snack. And then, sisters usually add craft. So, we still do that. What makes it special? It's special because I invite my friend. I invite my friend. That makes it special. So we have, and we call it a children's gospel meeting. Because we're telling them good news. Not because we're preaching to these children. Children, if you don't believe in Jesus, you will go to the lake of fire. Oh, you will get the children. Oh, do you want to pray? Okay. Yeah. And they pray. And you know what? After that day, you will never see them again. So not that. We tell them a story. To let them know about Jesus. That Jesus is the friend of sinners. That Jesus came to save people. That Jesus is just the best person ever because he's God. Can you imagine God in a man? And one day he wants to come into your heart. But you don't force them. You just present. You know what the goal of the children's gospel meeting is? That they come back next week. They have such a good time. Say, Mommy, I want to go back to church. We had this situation. One boy, he invited a friend from school. And the boy was sent with his older sister. His older sister brought him to the meeting because they didn't want to send him by himself. So the older sister brought the child to the children's meeting, but then went and sat in the church meeting. She was a believer already. She was in the Lord's table. She went to the young people's meeting. She picked up her little brother. She went home and she said, Mommy, I found my church. Then the mother joined her, the whole family came into the church line, just through that. So, the goal is that people like it, the children like it, and come back. Then you don't know what the Lord will do. The Lord could do marvelous things. Actually, I know many of you know this, but again, not all. So please bear with me for these few minutes, because I'd like to give you my testimony. Because I'm here before you because of that. Because of a neighborhood children's meeting. And not one that I attended. It was one that my sister attended. My sister I have two brothers and one sister. My sister is 10 years older than I am. And my two brothers are 12 and 14 years older than I am. Yeah. So, I was later. Actually, I was a mistake. Yeah. I found that out later. I found it out later. But I'm a sovereign mistake. I'm a sovereign mistake. Yeah. So, 4 years before I was born, 4 years before I was born, or actually it was probably four and a half or five, my father, moved to New York. My family is from the island of Puerto Rico. English speakers say Puerto Rico. Yeah. Anyway, Puerto Rico. So, I could give you the whole embellished story. I'm not going to do that. But really, my story starts with the Spanish-American War of 1898. Because through that war, because of that war, the island of Puerto Rico was transferred from Spanish dominion to become a territory of the United States. And Spain is predominantly Catholic. So all its territories became Catholic. Then Puerto Rico, being an American territory, right? If you're born in Puerto Rico, you're an American citizen. You don't need a passport. It's like a state, but you don't have all the state's rights. And there's like political fighting over that, you know. You can't vote for president. You don't have that right either. But you're protected by the American army. That counts for something. Yeah. So anyway, there's always the political fight of some want statehood, full statehood. Some want independence, be their own country. I don't understand that. Anyway, sorry. And status quo. Those are the three. Oh, every election, they're fighting. Okay. Anyway, be that as it may, you're American citizen. Cuba was also released from Spanish domination in 1898. And they were given independence. You know, these days, I don't know if you're up reading the news, but President Obama's trying to restore the relation between Cuba and America. What happened was they got independence, their independence. And of course, they were happy. Independence. Puerto Rico, what about us? We just changed masters. We belong to Spain. Now we belong to the United States. Anyway, you're an American citizen. Because of that, 50 years later, you know what happened? The communists took over Cuba. And the gospel has been stymied, not stopped, but delayed some. Of course, now there are a number of local churches in Cuba, anyway. But in Puerto Rico, there are 20 lampstands with about 1,200 saints. So anyway, because of the connection with the United States, people can go from the U.S. to Puerto Rico, right? So my father, pursuing the American dream, went to New York and got a job. Within 2 days, got an apartment, and then sent for my mother, my two brothers, and my sister. Within two weeks, on a Saturday afternoon, a knock on the door. And there's a woman. My mother opens the door. There's a woman there in her mid-30s. Mrs. Petrali. She says, "Welcome to the neighborhood." She had her eye for the new neighbor. Saints, please pay attention to that. Watch out for the new neighbors. She says, "Do you have any children? Do you have any children?" I'm certain that she knew there were three children. "Do you have any children? Because I teach the Bible to children every Saturday afternoon from the neighborhood. And we have a time, for the children." My mother was Episcopalian. She called herself a Christian, but she was not. She was not regenerated. But since she was Episcopalian and called herself a Christian, she respected Christians and the Bible. "You want to teach the Bible to my children?" "Wow, sure." So she sent the three children, ages 6, 8, and 10. Well, they came home, and my sister, "Mommy, Mommy, I want to go back. I want to go back." She loved whatever they did there. The following Saturday, Mrs. Petrale came back, picked up the children. This time, my mother sent them, waited a moment, and then followed them. And it was just in the neighborhood, and she walked up the stairs, second floor, an empty room that Mrs. Petrale and another sister, they rented out of their own pocket for these Saturday times. They were attending a brethren assembly, which eventually my family entered into. I was raised there. But this event was not sponsored or funded by the Brethren Church. These two sisters, a love offering, they rented this place. When my mother went there, you know what she saw? Actually, the room was probably about the size of this, behind this wall, just the part of this foyer here. My mother told me 35 to 40 children, two women leading. No songbooks. I think they even didn't have chairs. And you know what they did? And those sisters, of course, didn't know anything of what we're fellowshipping here, but that's what they did. Singing. And you know how they led the singing? They led the singing. They just led the singing. No books. They got the children to sing. They taught songs to the children. Then they told a story. Little snack. Go home. Less than an hour. My mother was drawn to the Christ in these sisters. About 6 months later, there was a Billy Graham crusade. Are you familiar with Billy Graham? Yeah. He's an evangelist. He's retired now. Actually, Brother Lee always had a very good feeling about Brother Billy Graham. Anyway, there was a Billy Graham crusade, and these sisters brought my mother and my sister. And my sister went forward at 6 years old, and she got saved. And shortly thereafter, my mother was saved. And I think my brothers too. But they didn't follow the Lord. So later in my adult life, then we preached again to my brothers and baptized them, just to be sure. Then they started to pray for my father. That's the story I told you this morning. And they prayed 35 years. Finally, in 1989, my wife and I led my father to the Lord. So now, today, well, my mother just went to be with the Lord a little more than a year ago, at the age of 90. But my father, now he's 95, almost 96. Okay. So my father and my mother and father in the Lord. Then we four, all of us and our spouses in Christ. Then our children, all the third generation, still except for two boys. There's two boys still not saved yet. But all the other cousins, all my nephews and nieces, saved. Now, even the fourth generation, quite a number, are baptized already. And mostly through my children. My children are leading, my third generation is leading the fourth generation. And then, actually, there are three in the fifth generation. Of course, they're babies. So, not saved yet. Not saved yet. But do you see four generations? You know, from where? 1 6-year-old girl. 1 6-year-old girl. And sisters, I'd like to point out to you, we all, including me, we are the crown on sisterhood trauma. When she faces the Lord, we all will be there with her. And I would say anyone and everyone that I have ever brought to the Lord should really go to her account too. Don't you think that's glorious? Sisters, if you have the heart, you could do something for the Lord. You could affect generations. You could affect families. I hope you would consider that. Point D. The first thing we should do with elementary age children is to help them know how to be persons with a proper humanity. We must help them to know what a proper humanity is and how to behave as human beings. At first, we should simply help them to grow up as proper persons with the full understanding and realization of what a proper humanity is. To this end, we can have many lessons and use demonstrations and illustrations. We can bring a small animal, some flowers, and talk about the differences between man and these things. We must also help them to know how to honor their parents, love others, and know the proper elements of human morality, such as humility, patience, kindness. In this way, we can build them up as proper materials for the Lord's use, to receive the Lord and enjoy Him. To receive the Lord and enjoy Him requires us to have a proper humanity as good material. Within the 6 years of the elementary age, there are about 300 Lord's days. To build up the children in their human character, it's very helpful for us to do this. 300 Lord's days. 300 Lord's days. But with quite a number of them, we've used up 100 already. You only have 200 Lord's days. With some, you only have 75 Lord's days. Consider, how much have you accomplished? How much have we done with them to build up the proper humanity? In some cases, we have to admit, we used too many Lord's days for premature knowledge. We used some Lord's days. Maybe we wasted some Lord's days. We have to be more desperate. You know, part of the proper humanity, it says here, humility, patience, kindness. We should inspire them to serve humanity. Inspire them to not just think about themselves. Now, recently in New York, we were touched, actually, concerning the churches in Ukraine. You know, we have some connection. We have a sister who was serving in Ukraine, who's back in New York, and I travel to the Russians to Moscow. I've been doing that for quite a number of years now, every year to help with a college conference and the full-time training. And many come from Ukraine, so I know quite a number of the young people from there. And, you know, beginning a year ago, political tension between Ukraine and Russia, and quite a number of our saints are affected. Quite a number of our saints are affected. Quite a number have been displaced because they were in the places where there was the fighting. So they've been displaced and are being taken care of in the homes of other saints. And you know, in Crimea, you know, Russia took back this area. They just took it back. We have 7 local churches in Crimea. The saints, these things should, they should touch us. There's just not, it's not just political news. We have saints in these areas. Not only so, you know, Chernobyl, this disaster in late 80s, it's in Ukraine. Do you know that there's an estimate that there will be 1 million premature deaths as a result of the disaster in Chernobyl? This will shorten the lifespan of 1 million people. And about 250,000, 250,000 children born with leukemia. So, we got the feeling, we got the burden, that we should speak this to our children. And tell our children. You know, there are people who are suffering in other places. We'd like to bring a map and show them. Where is this place, Ukraine? It seems far away. But do you know that there are children in the church in Ukraine? I know some of them. So, what we decided to do is, we did a video. And so, our children in our district, they practice this. Oh, the sisters taught them how to say, Привет! You know, hello. Привет! So, when the video starts, our children are there, all our children, and they say, Привет! And then it zooms in on one girl, says, we would like to sing some songs to you. The first song is something. You know, and so we put on the video, the church in New York greets. Oh, no. The children in the church in New York greet all the children in the churches in the Ukraine. Like this, something like this. And so the children sing. They sang 4 songs. And they, you know, then there's some, the sisters did a very good job with the video. As it's not only showing the children singing, then there's scenes from our children's meeting coming, scene after scene. Okay. 4 minutes. So, we contacted the brothers in Ukraine, the co-workers there, and we told them our burden. Oh, they were so touched that someone would think of them. And so, 2 weeks ago, they had a children's conference, which they had planned anyway. All the children from the churches. Do you know that 150 children saw our video in that time? 150. And so, they decided they were going to make us a video. So, I just got this last week. 11.5 minutes. And so when the video starts, they say, hello, all the children, hello. And then they sing a song. And they're singing in Russian, but the words are in English on the bottom. And then suddenly they break into English. And they sang one verse in English. Oh, I want to cry. And so they sang a few songs. Then they did interviews. They did more than we did. They interviewed 4 children. And one of them was in English. Maybe 2. and the others in Russian. And they asked them, what's your name? And I said, the name, and where do you live? And, oh, do you like the children? Yes, yes. And how did you like the videotape? Oh, I liked it very, you know, I liked it very much. And, you know, they're talking like this. Then it goes to a young people's meeting. And so all their young people are singing a hymn. And again, the words are at the bottom. And then they start also to sing in English. And then at the end, there's a greeting from the church, children in the churches in Ukraine to the children in the church in Europe. Don't you think this will make an impression in the children? Oh, we have a connection with Ukraine. Don't you think in school, when they mention Chernobyl, Crimea, Ukraine, Russia, our children will have a feeling? You know what we'd like? We'd like that they would be inspired. Maybe some of these children, when they grow up, they will go to Anaheim. After Anaheim, they will go to Boston training. After Boston, they will say, I want to serve in Ukraine. Wouldn't that be wonderful? So, 3 weeks ago, I contacted the brothers in Ethiopia. We're going to do the same with them. And we're going to show our children, what the children in Ethiopia dress like and how they sing. And we like to do this, to do something, infuse something into our young people. That they are part of God's family, which is so big. And we want to inspire them for service. To realize some places are not as privileged as we are. And we should pray for them. Maybe we should offer money for them. Maybe we would go there someday to preach the gospel. That's not premature knowledge. And I dare say, it's also not boring. So, anyway, I think you get an idea. Well, the kind of things we like to do with our children. The kind of things we can do, right, to broaden them. Okay, let's finish. Romans 2, together. Let's alternate the reading again. Okay, brothers, let's start. A. I think we can leave the rest for you to read. I want to highlight 2A. The material should be entirely from a child's perspective. We were revising some lessons Not that long ago, one sister sent me a lesson just so that I could look at it. And the lesson was on the creation, the third day. On the third day, the land appeared. There were many lessons on land. You know, you could give a lot of lessons on land. You could give lessons on the boundaries of land. Every land has boundaries. Do you know so many wars are over boundaries? Boundaries. Then you could talk about how we live from the earth. Food grows from the earth. You could talk about mountains. You could talk about rocks. This lesson was on rocks. Rocks. And so this particular lesson, whoever wrote it, this was the aim they put. The aim was to show the children, you know, to impress the children that God is our rock. And we can trust in Him. Something like that. You have to write according to a child's perspective. You can't say, God is our rock. Don't you think there'll be a little boy in that class? I didn't know God is a rock. He's probably a big rock. Maybe they go home with the impression. They look up and somewhere up there, there's this big rock. Then they'll go home. Mommy, how was your lesson? Mommy, did you know that God is a rock? Then mommy will say, no, 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 dear, that's not what they meant. Oh, yes, my teacher said. So even the verses have to be the proper verses. You know, the verse that was suggested, which we changed it all. The church that was suggested actually is one of my favorite verses. That is Psalm 18:3. Jehovah is my rock. So that for that, just bring in a bunch of rocks. That's what I would do. Different rocks. Just bring in rocks. Different color rocks. Different texture rocks. A rock that when you break it, oh, it's shiny inside. And you pass it around. And you say, who made this? God. God makes the rocks. You know, people can make buildings. They make bricks. They can cut stone, but they don't make stone. You go downtown, maybe that next week, that your child is riding in the car, says, Mommy, you see that building? Man made the building, but God made the rock. That would be wonderful. That's not premature knowledge. That's not being religious. But that's bringing them into an appreciation of who God is. Anyway, I hope this fellowship has been helpful. We have about 20 minutes for your response and sharing. You don't have to limit it to tonight's fellowship, even from yesterday and the whole day. How about we have some prayer again? May we pray this way. Let's practice this. How about we call the Lord's name a few times together? And then just pray one sentence and let another complete your thought in prayer and let another pray. We pray a corporate prayer this way. Let's practice this way. Amen? Amen. Then feel free to come up and share. Amen.